You're with Raf.
Your unofficial history of the Maribyrnong River. Every week I ask you for your memories, your recollections of part of Victoria. Today, the river. The first thing many of you remembered on the Maribyrnong was the flooding. Peter Somerville runs the Blackbird boat and he explains why.
Aberfeldy Park was actually the shoreline when the sea covered all the valley.
Aberfeldy Park, the Essendon Maribyrnong Park Ladies Cricket Club. They've got some fantastic photos in their club rooms. People walking down the steps to the ground wearing flippers and scuba gear.
There's an open space which is actually known as Grimes Flat. There is a colony of bellbirds.
My uncle used to take me fishing right up the top end where I think it's called Deep Creek, and we would go trout fishing.
Avondale Heights, and there was a horse riding school, and we'd go down there really early and pick a horse, swim it across the ford at the river up the other side, and we'd spend the day just riding bareback around Avondale Heights and Braybrook, and then we'd kind of swim it back over and put it back in its pen and never ever got caught. So it was carefree days and the river was clean.
Most of the bluestone in Melbourne came from around the Maribyrnong River. It was actually the edge of volcanic plain that makes the western suburbs. Apparently quite a lot of that bluestone ended up in the streets of London.
Jeff is calling from Geelong about the Maribyrnong. What do you want to tell us, Jeff?
Going back into the late 50s, probably around 1958, the Maribyrnong was a great attraction to the young lads of the area. If you could walk or ride your bike to the Maribyrnong, it was always a great adventure. And we would ride our bikes from West Footscray to Braybrook, where we could get onto the banks of the Maribyrnong on the south side and do a trek along the banks of the Maribyrnong with the aim of getting to what was called the Trestle Bridge. It's actually still there and you can see it from the new Ted Whitten Bridge. But going along the banks of the Maribyrnong, there were many, many, many factories that backed onto the river, and you would slush your way through some of the worst effluent that you can imagine. There were fat and bone processing factories and they just released their rubbish straight into the river. Our highlight was the McRobertson's chocolate factory, because if you were going to do a trek like that and you're only 12 or 13 years old, you needed energy.
So you stole chocolate from the chocolate factory?
We did. although we always felt that this was the reject chocolate that they didn't want to market for some reason or other. So we'd get big slabs of it and continue the trek. We'd cross the river at what was called the ford at the time, and we saw way back then hundreds of dead fish who were trying to swim upstream. They could only get as far as the ford.
Wow.
And for whatever reason, probably the pollution from the factories, they'd die. But once you cross the ford, the next exciting stage of the trek were what were called the sand caves, and they were on the north side of the river. And the sand caves, I don't know whether you'd call it sand or some sort of a yellowy-coloured loam, natural soil. There were banks of it, and you could burrow into it and make a cave. And we would do that. You could get so far in that you couldn't be seen from the outside.
Oh, Jeff, you're transporting me. Carefree days, the river was clean. Some of you talking about the rumours of a dolphin. That ain't no rumour. Yanni from Capel Sound confirms it. I took a photo back in the early 90s when dolphins swam up the Maribyrnong. They swam out eventually, but they caused a sensation at the time. JT from Barwon Heads completed his archaeology thesis on the Maribyrnong. An ancient Pleistocene Aboriginal landscape exists right on our doorstep. No need to go to Willandra Lakes. It's right here. Some of the country's first applications of radiocarbon dating occurred here in the 1950s. Great stories like this. I grew up on the Maribyrnong in West Essendon in the 60s and 70s. Swam in the river near Smuggler's Cave every summer. A man we got to know as Nick floated down the river one day on a raft and lived on the riverbank for years and years in a shack he built from flotsam and jetsam. Don't go swimming in it. That's the warning from Ian. My grandfather, born in 1899, told me he remembered seeing the Maribyrnong River flow clear when he was a boy. Swam in it once when I was about 10. Disgusting. Never did it again. Lived about a mile away, and I still do. Do go cycling, says Bram. Great cycle paths along the Maribyrnong Raft, which give different views of our diverse city and its history. And I loved this text. As a 10-year-old boy in the late 80s, I became hooked fishing reaches of the Maribyrnong, spending weekends at the end of a line trying to catch the big one. One day after a week of heavy rains, I stumbled across a wretched, bloated body of a dead platypus. As a refugee from Vietnam, I couldn't have imagined such a bizarre, mythical creature. And Joel ends on this. My memories are very current. In fact, I'm sitting on my balcony looking at it now. I wake up to it every morning, go walking along it every day, and kayak along it whenever I have time. And that's just some of your unofficial history of the Maribyrnong River.